You don't need to be ripped. You just need the right shirt. Epic Fits gives you a clean, confident silhouette. Snug on the arms, soft on the skin, generous where it counts. And with deals like $15 per tee, they won't break the bank. Visit epicfits.com today. Epic Fits. T-shirts that get it.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Man, hello and happy Sunday. Hey, it is officially spring. And even though it don't feel like it in Toledo, Ohio, we're going to have a great show regardless because spring is a state of mind. And you know that if you live in the Midwest. And also wrestling. Wrestling is something that you can enjoy if you have the pleasures of your mind to let go and just experience some entertainment that may be a little different from most, and you want to talk to guys that can talk about it like nobody else in the world. So you are in the right place. You are here for the first Black Champ podcast. And even though you don't see the title, and even though you don't see, you know what I'm saying, what you used to see, I'm still your podcast and the Continental Champion, Cam from the Port.
And I am JR Bang. I ain't no other change unless I told Camp I was thinking about growing the size out.
Get the cul-de-sac with the unit.
Yeah, get the unit and shit, man. You know,
cul-de-sac shouts out table with the unit. You dig?
Shouts out the niggas who really, you know, do the unit shit. I ain't there in my life.
Hey, have you been seeing those on TikTok though? Have you been seeing like them do it?
Yeah.
Hey, that's the wildest stuff. Man, hey, this dude, he looked Oldest Methuselah last week, and he got the shape up with the Beijing and the unit. I was like, come on, OG. Like, and the thing is, he couldn't have been even like 60 something. Like, I could still really get out here before retirement. He looked like he was like, man, near the upper room. Like, he might have been kicking it with Sammy Davis Jr. like in the 60s, like as grown ass men. And I was like, bro, come on, don't do that. Stop.
Yeah, I'm never gonna do it. Never gonna do it. I will. It's funny to joke around with, but nah, I ain't gonna never do that shit. That shit's wild as hell.
You like, want the turkey to get the joints?
Nah,
down?
Cause that shit look like it hurt.
Hell
see,
yeah.
The turkey shit look like it hurt. The turkey shit look like they go over there and just do some shit to you, and you come back with a million spots on your damn head, which then in turn makes you look like, you know, you got, you know, what you got on your head right now. I will never go to do that shit. Shouts out to B-Dot.
Hey, B-Dot, what up?
And nigga say Cam looks like an O2 record exec.
You know what I'm saying? We got to get your shit hot in the streets, bro. We got to get your shit hot in the streets. We got to get the street team together.
Hey, we signing 360 deals all day long. Hey,
you know what I'm saying?
Hey, but make sure you rate, like, subscribe where you everywhere. Go ahead and get that merch, all that. Y'all yes. Know what it is. Campus via satellite from Toledo, Ohio. I am at the home base and stuff. And shouts out to Raw last week. I had text you because I was like, yo, this is a Monday afternoon Raw is lit. Like, I know it's overseas yeah. And shit, and that's why. But nah, man. I think now that I'm at the age that I am at right now, I don't necessarily care about watching shit at 7 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. I don't.
Yeah.
Like we've graduated the where we are right now when it comes to TV. We've graduated from like must-see TV and appointment television and shit like that. Like we'll get to it when we get to it. So watching Raw at 3 o'clock was simply amazing. It brought me back to the ESPN USWA days and shit, yeah. Where you come home and like wrestling's on. It's like, all right, before I do my homework, I'm gonna go ahead and watch wrestling. And I did not have a meeting at that time. So it was uninterrupted wrestling for me. And it was lit. Like, did you watch Raw live in the afternoon?
No, I unfortunately, I was unable to check it out, but I did want to, though. I wanted to be like, man, let me get to the crib, but it was just not in the cards for me. But, man, hey, I wish I could have, though.
Hey, tomorrow is 4 o'clock Eastern.
Oh,
I believe. I think it's 4 o'clock Eastern.
And I should definitely be at the crib by the time that happens. So, yeah. So tomorrow, we got a different thing on deck.
Now, if you did watch it live, you saw the first heel promo from John Cena in, what, like 25 years? Like,
yeah,
when
man,
was the last
yeah.
time John Cena was heel?
I was going to say, yeah, it's probably like 04, yeah. 04, 05, for sure. Yeah.
And, wow, first of all, I'm glad that it was done in Brussels and not some random city in America.
Yeah.
I don't think we would have gotten the reaction that we've gotten. All right.
So glad you said that.
So let me just ask you this question. Like, were you expecting 1998 Nitro vibes? And what I mean by that is some random white kid running up.
You know what? Only because it was overseas, no. Now, to your point, had it happened in Bismarck, North Dakota, had it been in Tempe, Arizona, or, you know what I'm saying, or, you know, anywhere else here, then yeah, somebody would have tried to run out there, try to get the moment, trying to ruin the show. Because, you know, I mean, hey, look, only in America can Bret Hart get rushed during his Hall of Fame speech. So they definitely would have done that for John Cena turning heel totally on Cody Rhodes.
I totally forgot about that moment when it comes to shit like that. But John Cena's promo, John Cena put it back on the fans. Hey, y'all made me look. Y'all have had a toxic relationship with me forever. Mm-hmm. Y'all almost got me out this bitch. Y'all got me out here wearing this, and I ain't changing for none of y'all because I ain't dressed like y'all. Y'all dressed like me.
Bars.
when he called the little fat kid toxic and they put the camera on the little kid, that shit was amazing because that kid was like, damn, what the fuck I do? I just bought this shirt. It says Brussels. We just got it. Like, it's the same one you got on. But he really put it back on the fans and how they've treated him over these years, and he's just taking it. This has been an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
But now he's tired of it. What was your thoughts on Cena's first heel promo?
It was almost flawless.
Mm.
And it's only almost flawless for me because I don't like the buzzwords, toxic relationship. I just don't like that. I think there was a more scathing way to let the promo go. But at the same time, and that Brussels crowd, man, that show, I would love to see how long that show was in real time. I don't think that was just a 2 hour and some change, 3 hour show. I think John Cena was out there way longer than even that 26 minutes.
But no, it was live.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah, this was live. This was completely live.
So for
to your point, it felt like longer than what it was. It did feel like longer than what it was. It was like, God damn, they're not even gonna let Buddy talk.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was again. Those overseas crowds, man, that's just something that you just can't get here. We getting better, though. America, we stepping up. I'm going to be the first to say it because I think this show was the first show to call y'all out in all these other arenas for not really being engaged into the show and being a fan of shit. You just want to, you know, tweet and comment while you're at the show, like, watch the shit, and then react to it. Other than that, man, I thought that was just... That was just great seeing him, man. I know this may be a hot take for some, but for me, I got John Cena is definitely in the top three of just promo guys ever. And depending on how this year goes, I wouldn't be mad to put him at number one for me. But I don't see him as far as promo guys. I can't see him being out of anybody's top five, regardless if you like him or not. Like, this has nothing to do about wrestling. Like, just off the promo alone, the segment, you know, the pipe bomb, all of that. I believe that John Cena is undoubtedly top three and for sure should be in everybody's top five. And I think moments like last Monday solidify that.
I'm going to say that that promo was one of the greatest promos of all time. And like, very rarely I'm watching wrestling and I say this is history making.
Yeah.
Like, good moment, great moment. Like, yo, this is dope. Holy shit. But then there's history making. Mm-hmm. That was a history making promo.
Yes.
And this is when crowd and wrestler meet. And it is the perfect marriage. I'm not a buzzword guy either.
Yeah.
But the way he was throwing it out there, I was like, okay, I see where y'all going. Because at first I was like, okay, let's see how this goes. Because I wasn't expecting abusive relationship with fans.
Right.
But then I was like, oh, shit. Oh, he cooking.
Yeah.
Like, y'all hit me with the John Cena sucks. Y'all almost got me out of here. I started doing this shit and y'all loved it. But at the same time, y'all was laughing at me. Pause. I was like, oh, okay. Because I ain't going to lie. I was laughing at Thugonomics John Cena more than I was like this shit cold.
Yeah.
Like, yo, this nigga trying to be MOP.
With the Marky Mark look.
Yeah, right? Like,
we're saying it all.
Yeah. So, I mean, eventually I got on board with Thugonomics, but in the beginning I was like, yo, this dude's a clown.
Yeah.
But then, as he shut up, people was like, oh, he a lame. He a lame.
Yeah.
The kids love him, though. Like, John Cena really called back to fuck ruthless aggression.
Yeah.
Because we get it. We know it. You did the Kurt Angle thing and it was a hot night, but then it gradually went down from there until you almost got fired.
Yeah.
But the way I felt that promo is, while y'all kept me here, to laugh at.
Mm-hmm.
Not really support.
And that was so fire about it. I'm glad you pointed this out. And see, and that's why I was like, this was damn near flawless. I don't know, and Bang, I always will concede to you, is just, you've watched this way more wrestling than I have in just my lifetime twice over. So help me out here. Because for me, I don't think I've ever watched a promo where a wrestler has summed up their own career from the opposite lens. Instead of him being optimistic, he was pessimistic and said, and I still shit on y'all in the process.
Yes.
because he literally was like, you know what? Hey, like you said, when I first got here, y'all wasn't fucking with it. Y'all was laughing at me trying to get me out of here. But then I started winning. Then I started winning, and then that wasn't good enough. So, like, literally, when I was at the bottom of the roster or I was at the top of the roster, y'all didn't fuck with me. But oh well. and then he's switching, like, and this is what I was saying the last 2 weeks. So we were waiting for the Cena promo. I kept saying that I'm waiting for the Cena promo. And when he said, you don't get a new look, y'all dress like me. I don't dress like you. And he was like, you'll get new music. And I was like, yeah, why should he? Because shit, hey. If you remember ECW One Night Stand, they booed the fuck out dude when he came out there with what he got on. Like, John Cena, in the minds of many, has just been the anti. He hasn't been the anti-hero. He's just been the anti, we don't want you. Like he's been the, oh, bring back The Rock, Triple H, Stone Cold. Like, let's bring back the other guys. We don't like the ruthless aggression guy. So this, it's genius in the way because he literally summed up his career like he didn't make it.
Yeah.
But it's like he one of the most successful wrestlers ever in life.
He basically said, I've always been hustle, loyalty, and respect. I'm still out here hustling. I only need to be loyal to me because y'all never respected me in the first place.
Yeah.
Like John Cena, basically, I've never seen somebody, and look, a lot of people gonna read this promo a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. This is how I read that promo. Y'all treated me like the lame all your life. Even though I was out here winning.
Yeah.
Like, I was just a goofball to y'all. I was just the lane to y'all. Y'all tried to get me out of here so many times. Y'all tried to bring the old dudes out here to get me out of here. Y'all tried to get these young dudes out of here to get me out of here. Y'all been trying to get me out of here for years, and I've held on to that. Mm-hmm. Y'all just didn't know it. When y'all came out here talking about some Cena sucks, I held on to that. Mm-hmm. But y'all niggas who said y'all supported me, oh, y'all some hoes too.
Which was the plot twist? That was a hell of a plot twist.
Hey, y'all some hoes too. You know, like, y'all never really rocked with me in the first place. Y'all only rocked with me because I was winning. Mm-hmm. If I wasn't winning, you still wouldn't have supported me. You guys would have been, y'all cut from the same cloth. It was damn near like the laugh now, cry later guy.
Yeah.
Like, man. Like, John Cena, I've never effectively seen somebody say, fuck you. And fuck you too. To make everybody go, oh, okay. Fuck you.
Yeah.
But then when he read back to why he feels like that for both, it was a self-reflection of the Brussels crowd.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you always been the lame. Why was we cheering the lame? Like, John Cena made himself feel like Lucas. But Lucas made it, but he's still Lucas.
Yeah.
John Cena said, I was the lame to y'all that made it, but I'm still lame. So y'all roll with it or rolled with it or y'all stated y'all feelings. But either way it go, y'all all saw me as lame as hell. And I, for one, love that because I don't think he's wrong. John Cena was the lame that you was like, but he a talented one, though.
Yeah, hey, and back to my favorite line of the promo next to the other ones, Donnie had just put it in the comments as well. He said, all y'all did was sit on y'all ass and watch me be great. Hey, and critique them in the process. Again, what makes this promo so great to me is just the fact that John Cena is very self-aware of how his career has went. And he was like, I could take this a couple different ways. And I love the fact that he didn't get into this whole thing of trying to make it such a personal story about Cody and the success, because that would be super cap. That would be so much cap on the Cal Ripken year for John Cena. It's like he could instantly took us out of that whole WrestleMania moment. It's like, nah, if you're going to talk about how you just don't think Cody's the guy or whatever, like, nah, we don't want to hear that shit. What is so great about this is that John Cena, even in all of this, has literally made WrestleMania about him. And it's like, oh yeah, hey, and I'm in a title match too, by the way. You know what? Y'all still don't fuck with me, but it don't matter because I got a title match at WrestleMania. And I mean, again, hey man, it's brilliant, dog. It's brilliant. I mean, hey, I know y'all might say we glazing on this one, but I mean, hey, you don't get many great moments in wrestling like this. So, I mean, for real, really sit back, take yourself off the internet, watch that shit, register it, and then realize how you ain't gonna see this in 3 years, and you ain't gonna see it in 5 or 10 either. Like this gonna be one of them ones.
And I'm glad that you said that. But before we get to the match itself, like, when we gonna find out where The Rock fits in this? Mm-hmm. Like when you look at the promo that John Cena gave, mm-hmm. John Cena basically was like, "I'm damned if I do, I'm damned if I don't." So, and knowing that, with the success that he's had, where does The Rock fit in this? And I'm gonna throw a question out there: mm-hmm. Is when you think about both of their careers, mm-hmm. did John Cena and The Rock basically tell the WWE universe, "We're the same person"?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Hey, I was literally going there. What happened in Brussels reminded me of, I think it was Rock via satellite in Philly, where he started cutting his promo and the crowd was just booing. And they were booing for a number of reasons. They were booing because he wasn't full-time wrestling. They were booing because he wasn't in the building, but yet he was tying up about 10 minutes of time. And he was even trying to put over the faces. Like, he was trying to put over Booker T, and he was trying to put over somebody else in that promo. And that crowd just was like, "Nah, fuck, dude." Like, you did the Mummy Returns and shit ain't been the same since. Like, that's what we know. So I look now, fast forward. The Rock and John Cena literally do have a lot of the same, like, layout as far as like the same, like, just crossroad of wrestling, except John Cena just stayed. Like, that's it. You know, hey, die, Rocky, die. And he's coming out here to be a face. He's the blue chipper. And I'll never forget that because of Jim Ross. And he's on this path, and he joins the Nation Domination. We still don't like him, but we starting to like him because we think he want to be black. But then he gets the title, but he's the corporate champion. So we don't really like him when he's the champ either. Literally, John Cena has done a lot of the same thing, but he's went from Marky Mark battle rapper to, hey, I'm the face of this company. It's like when your dad owns the company and he dies, so he gives it to his oldest son, and the oldest son changed the look of it, but it's still corporate. Like, that's kind of what John Cena's career is. But they kind of run very parallel, Rock and Cena. So for me, just been since I've been watching since at least 97, 98, that's where I think the tie-in will be. However, because we've totally abandoned this, The Rock has John Cena's soul. Like, that's not even a thing. Now, that promo ruined that as well. So I'm curious if they're going to connect the dot how I want to connect the dot, because I think it's just logical. I mean, shit, I guess we'll see. We'll see. But to me, nothing other than that makes sense. Like, The Rock was like, y'all don't fuck with me either. Like, yo, I was supposed to headline last WrestleMania. Look how y'all did. Like, you know what I mean? So I think it could be that.
I agree. Like, y'all still boo me and y'all cheer me. Y'all say, die, Rocky sucks, all of that stuff. When I got here, this is what I did. And this is what I was trying to do. But y'all booed me to the point that I had to join a group of jabronis and be the best wrestler there and become Intercontinental Champion. But then y'all tell me I sold my soul to win my first championship. Mm-hmm. And all I do was give y'all great matches, great movies, and y'all always still got to find something that's wrong. Fuck that. I'm me. And the difference between The Rock and John Cena is Rock can say he's doing it for his family and his family legacy and lineage, because the bloodline and all of that stuff, it's just me. And it's always been me. Hell, my mm-hmm. father came up here and y'all booed him out the spot. Mm-hmm. And y'all watched Randy Orton whoop my father's ass.
Let's talk about
So to segue, is it a foregone conclusion that John Cena gonna win that Mania? Because hear me out. The way I read that promo is that we're about to get the revenge tour that we never thought we would get because we didn't think it existed. It feels like to me that John Cena is going to win the belt at Mania, and we're going to see John Cena paying, getting get back, getting payback from everybody who he feel like wronged him.
Yeah.
You're going to see probably John Cena and Triple H in 2025. You're definitely going to see, in my opinion, you definitely going to see John Cena versus Randy Orton
for sure
in 2025. I think while there won't be a match involved, I think there's going to be something about John Cena versus Triple H and the machine, so to speak. I feel like John Cena's last year in wrestling is going to be a title run filled with revenge, retaliation, and get back on everybody who felt like wronged him, because that's how the promo sounded. And when he loses the belt, this is not a guarantee to y'all. When he loses the belt, he's going to lose it to Cody, who's then going to realize what John Cena said and be like, oh, I feel John Cena now. It's just going to be a monthly long segue into Homelander Cody.
So, wow, we're on the same page a lot on this episode, just off the rip. So, I will say this. My pick is John Cena. I want to say like around Royal Rumble time, especially after Jey Uso won, I was like, man, the only other bigger story than Jey Uso going to WrestleMania is John Cena being at his last WrestleMania and needing a title shot, wanting the title shot, whatever it is. So then we get to the Elimination Chamber and that happens. I'm like, wow, maybe. I was like, maybe what the E needs in 2025 is just John Cena on top running roughshod over the entire industry on some other shit, because, you know, right now the only champion, male champion that exists, or a legend or whatever that can exist, that can make a story that doesn't have to be so personal but gives a personal feel, is John Cena. Like, we've watched Cody's title run. Everything is just so personal. It's always deeper than rap with Cody. It's like, yo, like, when do we just get the people that just want the belt? And I think with the layers of stories being told with Cena, right, you got the retirement, which is the last year. Then you got the, oh, now I've been unappreciated and disrespected this whole time. And then you got the aspect of, hey, where was wrestling without me? It's like, Roman Reigns is on top now. Like, things are good now. But, like, what about last decade? You know, that was me, right? Like, and there's all of those elements that exist in the story. Cody losing the belt at this point would not surprise me at all, because I don't think the post-WrestleMania match promo for Cody on Raw will hit at all if he beats Cena at Mania. I just don't think it's going to hit. So, yeah, now I'm kind of like, you got to tell me what it's like when you lose and you got to regroup and the OG took your spot. Like, how does that feel? Let me know about that versus I beat him.
Because I'll even go further, when Cody Rhodes said that he doesn't want this Cena, because he doesn't want this whiny bitch version of Cena. You know how when people say, man, it's like a light switch? To me, that was the light switch. To me, Cody calling this version of John Cena a whiny bitch, that was the light switch. Now we get to see Cena in his full glory.
Yeah.
Because now I'm a whiny bitch, huh?
Right.
I bet. You're going to see. You're going to see what this means.
Yeah.
I expect some type of contact on Monday between the two of them. Mm-hmm. I expect a gradual change in Cena. Mm-hmm. He could keep on that hat. He could keep on that shirt. All that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about just his character. I think you're going to see a gradual turn of Cena being ruthless aggression.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to slowly but surely see Cena get more and more aggressive, more and more ruthless, to where everybody around him is going to be looking at him and basically like, yo, what's wrong with him? It's this version of Cena is Tales from the Dark Side. It is an episode of Tales from the Dark Side. The guy's been cheered all his life, but then all of a sudden he takes his career in his own hands and the crowd is like, boo. So the more they boo him, the more it energizes him to be what he feels like he really is, which is a ruthless, aggressive version of what we will see. And when he wins the title at Mania, you're going to continue to see the progression of a heel character in John Cena who's not clueless to what he is to you. The John Cena of now is wearing this is because he's wearing these clothes. He's not changing his clothes,
right?
Because he wants to remind you of how you see him.
It's fire. It's fire.
So he's going to keep on wearing this shit.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to keep that music. He's going to keep wearing these jorts. He's going to keep wearing the Hustle Loyalty and Respect shirts. And I'm going to continue rocking this because I want to see what you created. You created a monster, and now this monster is out, and there's no stopping it.
I don't know where the quote originated from. DJ Paul's name is in my mind, but I know he's not the first one to say it. But John Cena's story right now is success didn't change me. It changed you. And I love it. That's awesome.
Yeah, so we will see how this goes. But hold on, let me. It would not be right if I didn't. We told y'all. Talk about, well, it was a foregone conclusion that this is going to be a triple threat match. I told y'all before the first episode of Netflix, y'all.
Yeah. 2024, to be clear.
Hey, I told y'all in 2024, I don't see no other match between CM Punk, Seth Rollins, and Roman Reigns. That it was going to be a I didn't see no match outside of a triple threat for those guys.
Yeah.
Now everybody pointed at the WrestleMania sign. Now it's official. Seth freaking Rollins, the Tribal Chief, Roman Reigns, CM Punk, in a triple threat match.
Sorry.
Question number one. Does this now move into night one main event?
Shit, yeah, for me, yeah. Sorry, champs, but ain't nothing bigger than this. Pause. Outside of because Cena Cody should be night two. Yeah, for me, Roman Punk, Rollins night one, Cena, Rock night two, and look at that cruel twist of fate. Everything that we would have got last year. Had CM Punk won the damn Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Don't see, yeah. Don't see no reason why this ain't WrestleMania night one.
Yeah.
Don't see it at all.
And that's respect. Respect to Jay and Gunther. Respect to Charlotte and Tiffany. Respect to Io and Bianca. But yeah, sorry. Those are shit. That's literally the other side of the last 15 years of wrestling. It can't not be them.
Where do we go from here though? Is this Paul Heyman's payback time? Like, you know, we even heard CM Punk say, yo, remember you owe me that favor.
Mm-hmm.
Does this end with Roman Reigns and CM Punk feuding for the rest of 2025? Is this like winner gets number one contender status for the title? Like, could this signal Roman Reigns versus Jey Uso, if Jey Uso is the new champion after this? Like, where does this go?
For me, and this is not necessarily a guarantee, but all this does is solidify that there is definitely one heel in this match. Somewhat, because like, if you're looking at it in a vacuum of just what the universe thinks, Roman Reigns by himself, Roman Reigns with just Paul Heyman, and he's supposed to still be a face right now. I don't believe that. CM Punk is supposed to be a face. Seth Rollins is supposed to be a face. We're all invested in this because they just literally hate each other, and they're going to have a match. I don't think you should ever trust a man wearing a suit with a V-neck. I just don't think you should do it. I don't care if the shirt matches. Paul Heyman wearing the V-neck and the blazer, as part of a suit, just feels weird to me. He turned on somebody. Anybody wearing the V-neck with a suit is probably going to turn on you. So for me, what I see happening is, I said last week, Roman going face. I got Punk and Heyman rolling out the rest of 25 together. That's what I got. Yeah. And Seth Rollins, just Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins, you can use Seth Rollins in any scenario and it's just gonna make sense for him.
Okay, so I agree with you with the Paul Heyman, Roman Reigns, CM Punk thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what if there's a swerve at the end of this?
Mm.
And the swerve is Paul Heyman leaving with Seth Rollins.
That will be moment of the year for me, Bang. And I do not want to sell that short at all.
And and the reason why I say that is I feel like Paul Heyman is going to be like, I've been your wise man.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot what he called himself with CM Punk. What was it?
It wasn't the advocate. It was, no, you know what? He was just the Heyman guy. He was the Heyman guy. He was the original guy that started the Heyman guy.
Yeah. I could see Paul Heyman going, I've been your tribal chief, and look what I've done for you. The longest title reign in the last whatever years.
Mm-hmm.
And who title reign did you beat in the process? The other guy.
Mm-hmm.
CM Punk.
Yep.
I have been so much to both of y'all, but what have y'all done for me? What have y'all done for me? Like, I get jumped by your cousins, and I got to beg you to help me help them. Nah, fuck that. Fuck y'all. Seth freaking Rollins and Paul Heyman. That's what's next up. I can see that.
Yeah, hey. I would love to see that, low key. No, high key. High key. I would love to see that. Because that there is time for a change with Seth Rollins as well. There's just time for a change. Because this is kind of what he does. Like, he'll give a different layer of just Seth Rollins. And it all makes sense. Yeah, I would like to see that. I would.
Now, to go to that, like, is... Because the reason why I bring that up is I think it's too obvious around Paul Heyman's payback. Mm. The favor that he owes CM Punk. Mm-hmm. I think it's very obvious that CM Punk is probably going to get screwed out of this too. And because if you were to look at this, the easiest match to predict would be this match. Mm. Oh man, Paul Heyman, CM Punk is owed a favor by Paul Heyman. So it's only logical that he's going to go over at WrestleMania in the triple threat match. And Paul Heyman is going to roll with him. That is so fucking obvious that I mean, I won't say that they won't do it.
Yeah.
But it is so obvious that I don't think that they would. I think that it is more likely than not that CM Punk would get the favor that he wants back from Paul Heyman, mm-hmm. but still get screwed. Mm. And yeah. The only way he still gets screwed is Paul Heyman going to Seth Rollins.
You know, hey, you know what? And not for nothing. I mean, I know we still got shit like 3 weeks until like WrestleMania, but I'll tell you this, and I may change it, but for me, I got Roman Reigns taking that pin at WrestleMania. I'm going to say that off the rip. So triple threat match announced. One, I did not and will not have Roman Reigns winning that match. I got Roman taking the pin. So I'm just throwing it out there now. Mm. We'll talk about it.
Interesting. We got through. We do have 3 weeks to prepare for that. Randy Orton, Kevin Owens. Now, that match is official. Yes. Now, as we build out the grudge matches for WrestleMania, now we're in a spot where, okay, now we're going into these grudge matches and stuff, and mm-hmm. these are the non-title matchups. In fact, that was me on SmackDown. Those were the two first two non-title matchups that was announced. Randy Orton, Kevin Owens, and Roman Reigns, CM Punk, Seth Rollins. Now, we know Randy Orton is one of the greatest of all time. Kevin Owens can have a great match with a broomstick. Is this the Steal the Show match of WrestleMania?
It can be. I think kind of depends on what night. To me, this is a night two match. So, but yeah, I mean, hey, look, man, Randy Owens. Randy Orton, Kevin Owens. In a match, even the buildup, I love the promo that Kevin Owens cut to get here. Someone's like, hey, no, we should go to tag team titles. Like, that's funny. Like, nobody wants to see that shit.
Yeah, my man was like, I apologize. We should do this.
Right.
Like, we should do that. Is there, okay, so it looks like we got those two matches. Feel like we're going to get the Damian Priest, Drew McIntyre announcement very soon.
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to be something around Finn Balor and Dominic Mysterio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Feel like we're going to get something around that for WrestleMania. The LA Knight Braun Strowman thing, that's happening next week. But we got Penta versus Braun Breaker, which I'll get into a little bit later. But that feels like, just like last year, they'd be like, yo, WrestleMania Friday type shit.
Yeah.
AJ Styles versus Logan Paul too. How are we feeling about the potential grudge matches, though?
For the potential grudge matches, you know what? Honestly, man, that this is I swear Paul and that other guy, I keep forgetting his name. I swear they listen to the show because we do have a lot of good old-fashioned grudge matches. That makes sense too, though. You know what I mean? Like, these are stories that I'm not gonna say that we're like 100% invested in, but we got some good moments on the way. You know, whether it's night one or night two, Drew McIntyre versus Damian Priest is a good match in the first hour. You know, I think that you're going to get a great performance out of a Dom and a Finn or a Logan Paul and AJ Styles. Like, those are matches. Like, those are matches that really mean something. If those caliber of matches were happening when WrestleMania was only 3 hours on a Sunday, on a Sunday night, we'd be calling that one of the greatest WrestleManias of all time. But right now, based on where we were, like, if this was the 90s or just early 2000s or whatever. So WrestleMania, both nights overall are shaping up to be pretty spectacular just for the wrestling fan. Like, the casuals, of course, but for the wrestling fans, we might get one of them once. I don't know.
So,
okay.
So, I don't want this to sound bad because anything could happen. I ain't too excited about these grudge matches though. Outside of the two that's been named. Do I really want to see Logan Paul and AJ Styles?
Not for the reasons they're making it, but I want to see the match, though.
That's the point.
Okay.
For the reasons they're making it. Yeah, you know what this feels like to me?
Yeah.
What was that, WrestleMania 7? Where you had all of those random-ass matches. You had Jinru. You had Jinru and the other Asian dude versus Demolition. Like, why do we have that match? Like, this has me like WCW type shit when you got like Johnny B. Bad versus PN News. For what? I don't even know what happened. How do we get to this point? Like, they didn't even bump into each other in the hallway. Like, we didn't even bump each other in the hallway. Like, we want them to wrestle. Like, that's the shit.
I get you.
I need to get some reasons why these matches are happening.
Because I had to look it up, and I was hoping I was right. But, like, the Texas Tornado versus Dino Bravo was at WrestleMania 7.
Right.
It's like, yo, okay, I get it. Like, they both deserve to be there. But why them together, though? I got you.
Like, that's gotta be there has to be some reasoning behind why it can't be because Logan Paul was like, fuck Andrew Schultz, and then like beat him up.
Yeah, that's your man. It's like, you live in Georgia, bro. Come on.
Yeah. You don't listen to dude. You listen to Tony Hinnicutt for whatever his name is. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't listen on that. You don't even listen to Brilliant Idiots. You don't even know what Brilliant Idiots is, AJ Styles. So why are you, though, just, I want to fight. Like, that's my thing right there. The Drew McIntyre, Damian Priest thing has some legs to it.
Yeah.
But Damian Priest gonna have to get his lick back.
True.
Like, he's going to have to get his lick back. And that's why it's concerning to me that there's more of a possibility that the mid-card titles will not be defended.
Now, that did kind of make peace with, outside of Bron Breakker. Hey, and you know what? And this is going to sound bad, but this is just where I'm at with it personally. I think the only mid-card champion that deserves to be at WrestleMania right now is Bron Breakker. Sorry, we can get the rest of y'all summed up on SmackDown.
I mean, if Jacob Fatu is not wrestling, if Jacob Fatu is wrestling LA Knight, you can put that on any night of WrestleMania, I'm happy.
Yeah.
If they try to give, if Jacob Fatu is involved in the United States Championship match, I give it. Because it feels like to me, it's going to be a four-way match. LA Knight versus Braun Strowman, Jacob Fatu, and Solo Sikoa for the United States Championship.
Yeah.
As long as Jacob Fatu is on WrestleMania, I'm happy.
No, for sure. And that's another person I believe that has, like, how can we do WrestleMania without Jacob Fatu in 2025? I don't, like, you know what I mean? Like, there are some names out there, especially with WrestleMania being two nights. It's like, okay, we're not going to waste people's time. Like, Jacob Fatu needs to be there. I don't care if nobody else is there. Like, Jacob Fatu needs to be on a WrestleMania card in 2025. Like, you on bull. Like, that's the stuff that makes people think, like, okay, y'all can't run the company if Jacob Fatu is not at WrestleMania.
Right. And being that he has, it's funny watching WrestleMania 22 and see Bobby Lashley give Shelton Benjamin the Dominator. Like, it's funny seeing that now. That's my whole thought. It's there's some people that need to be on the card. What does the story look like? Please don't just put these matches together. Like, don't give us Shawn Michaels for Tatanka and not give us no build up. Don't give us Tito Santana versus Dino Bravo and it just pops up. Like, when you watch, for all of the young cats that listen to this show, go look at the first 10 WrestleManias and watch how they randomly just put some shit together.
Yeah.
Like, if I find on YouTube a WrestleMania Center or Royal Rumble Center or anything like that, you're going to see matches that just, like, just named the Rockers versus the Powers of Pain, and they never cross paths.
Yeah.
I hate wrestling.
It was notorious for that.
Yeah, like, hey, like,
when in doubt, book the Killer Bees. Shout to B. Brian Blair, though. You did.
I might have to clip that one along just because, hey, when in doubt, book the Killer Bees. You're right, because what was that? I think it was Survivor Series 89. Mm-hmm. Where I think somebody left the company, so they put B. Brian Blair on one match and Jumping Jim Brazil in another match just to fill them in. So, you're right. When in doubt,
great hands.
Hey,
great hands in the ring, man. Hey, Jumping Jim Brazil, B. Brian Blair, man. Killer Bees.
Yeah, now that wasn't a lot of wrestling that went on today. So damn near at the end of the show. But before we get to Gear and Damn Tees, we are back with Do We Care? Now, in these selections, Do We Care? I look back at some of the other bigger moments that happened on Raw, SmackDown this week and what might be coming up. I just want to know, do we care? Naomi got her lick back against Jade Cargill. Hey, she whooped her ass. Do we care about this beatdown, though?
We're supposed to. And I want to give a lot of grace here, because I do think Naomi is doing this way better than I expected. But unfortunately, as a crowd, outside of the look, we have not invested in Jade Cargill that much yet for us to really, really care.
Does this need to be a WrestleMania night one, night two match?
For Naomi, yes. Yep. Naomi deserves that. Give me my solo spot, no belt, putting another black woman over or another green wrestler over at WrestleMania. Yes, Naomi, yes.
The one thing that I will say is Wade Barrett consistently shows his love for black women.
Hell yeah.
Every week on SmackDown. Braun Strowman is the number one contender for the United States Championship after Solo cost Jacob Fatu his U.S. title match and being pissed off about it. being pissed off about it. Do we care about Braun Strowman being the number one contender for LA Knight's United States Championship?
Hell no. Nah. We care way more about what Banks just said. The Braun Strowman being the number one contender for the title. And the Tribe is my favorite group, so I'll take it. Oh, shit. Hey, wait, you on mute.
Goddamn, I put myself on mute. I agreed that much with Banks. I see it. Yeah, I did not notice it until just now. But yes, you look like Ali from goddamn A Tribe Called Quest at this moment of time right now.
Oh, mate, man.
Either that or Lucy Pearl. Either way it go, yeah. Your ass is Ali for the rest of the day today. Now, Bron Breakker versus Penta. Bron Breakker. Look, let me stop the music real quick. Because I saw a couple of people on Twitter. I saw a couple of people on Twitter said that pants and boots and wife beaters are only for street fights. No, damn it. Therefore, those matches too. Right? If there's a no disqualification, no count out, balls count anywhere match, you can wear clothes. Right? Let me just say that you can wear clothes, goddammit. And what's my man name? Marcel? What's his name? Ludwig. That was his old name. Yeah. Ludwig Kaiser should not have had on them damn draws in that match. No. Put some pants on, fam.
Yeah.
Penta is already... he should not have been dressed like he was about to wrestle that night. With that being said, do we care about Bron Breakker versus Penta?
No. But for me, I'm just going to come clean now. I don't understand the hype around Penta. I'm sorry. He come out there, he throwing down the Dangerous Minds gang sign and doing all that. He's doing great in-ring work. And I ain't going to lie. I was expecting a lot more than what people, and based on what people were telling me about homie. And I've seen, because now, you know, the old clips resurface. He cold. But I don't think it's all that. Hey, look, man. I grew up and I saw the Great Muta. I saw Rey Mysterio when he was like 19. I seen all the versions of Sin Cara. Like, I saw Psychosis. I saw La Parca. Help me out. What did I need here? What did I need here? I seen Air Hoovy, Juventud Guerrero. I seen it.
As somebody who's a Penta fan, I will say this. He throws down the joint like too many times. Like he throws the joint like he's trying to get points on 2K25. Like he's like you hit the celebrations a little bit too much. With that being said, I'm not sure about Penta in the WWE.
Okay.
Like
I can live with that.
Because I don't know if we're going to see Penta and Jacob Fatu are in the same situation for me. They both was in the Indies. They both was at MLW. killing it. They're both former MLW champions. So they were out there killing it. You go look at Lucha Underground matches with Penta. You go look at MLW matches. You go look at TNA matches with Penta. He kills it. I just don't think that the WWE is going to put him in the position where somebody like you are going to like it and appreciate it. The reason why I put this up, because I think we're going to care about Penta after this match.
Okay.
And it needs to be, and it needs to be at WrestleMania. It can't be at SmackDown WrestleMania Friday. It can't be this coming Friday. You got to put him in a spot and put him against somebody that's going to give him a great match. He has not been in the position in a high profile enough match for me in order to be like to disagree with what you just said.
Yeah.
But when you put him in a match with people that matter, like him versus Ludwig Kaiser, I don't give a shit about that shit.
Yeah.
But you put him against Bron Breakker, business is about to pick up for both of them.
Okay.
But
and that's what I want.
But also, if they're gonna have him on Raw and Rey Fénix on Friday on SmackDown, if they're gonna split these two up, you're doing both of them a disservice. Because if you don't care about Penta right now, you're not gonna give a shit about Rey Fénix. But you put them two together and put them up against the Street Profits.
Okay.
Money.
Okay.
You put them against the Motor City Machine Guns. Money. You put them up against DIY.
Hell, well, let's not just do too much in 1 year. You know what I mean? Fuck Johnny Wrestling. Y'all know the vibes.
What I'm saying is, I think he's better suited in this tag team thing and being one of the greatest tag teams of all time than him being solo. And then also, it runs that thing about what just Orlando just said. He wins the IC title and joins Judgment Day. Hey, Orlando, from you being in the Spanish contingent, I think you should also be tired of them putting all the Hispanics together and making them into a group.
Hey.
I don't want Penta to be a part of Judgment Day. Penta is his own Judgment Day if you put him back with Rey Fénix. Fuck that. We don't need everybody in one group.
I feel you, but hey, at the same time, Judgment Day is more LWO than the LWO. So they just get rid of
the reason why.
So they just get rid of LWO.
But see, that's the other reason why.
They can just run everything.
That's the other reason why. Like, I don't need the Latin Kings and the 2-6s to merge. Just don't.
He was a maniac. Salute to him.
Yeah, like I don't need them to merge. And really, I don't need the LWO. Like, what has the LWO done outside of speak Spanish and keep their mask on that make you go, this is a great group?
Yeah. Hey, you got me. And they let Zelina come out there with that on, with that ish on. That's it.
You know? And she ain't even with the group no more. Yeah. She on SmackDown with a whole nother set of music, losing to somebody she should lose to.
Yeah, true.
So I don't need Penta and Judgment Day. I need Penta and Rey Fénix to be back together. One more, because I didn't put it up there. Aleister Black. Hey man, Aleister Black. We got some promos and we got some vignettes. Mm-hmm. And everything around Aleister Black. Last week it was 4, now we're at 3, so it just looks like it's a countdown. Do we care about Aleister Black returning to the WWE?
You know, we'll see. For me, NXT Aleister Black is the greatest of all the blacks that we've seen. Wild on times of the use there. But you know what? We'll see, because I think he can still go. I think he's still great. And hey, and to really like not be on no sucker stuff, I think a lot of the work that he did in AEW was pretty damn good. I think a lot of it was good. It's better than what they promoted. It was better than what they highlighted. So, yeah, I'm going to say, yeah, but we'll see.
Not going to lie to y'all. I don't care. Don't care at all. Here's why I don't care. And it's not a bad reason, because I fuck with Aleister Black.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's too many people in these spots to care.
Mm. Good point.
Like, I don't want this to be an AEW type situation to where every time we see somebody sign with the WWE, we automatically assume that they're about to be put into a prime spot. But we're going to see if Aleister Black is going to SmackDown, which it looks like, especially with his wife being on SmackDown. Am I excited about Aleister Black versus LA Knight? No. I know Aleister Black is not going to be in the world title conversation. So are we going to have a whole bunch of Jake the Snakes around here? What I mean by that is a whole bunch of quality people who deserve a title or a title shot, but never get it, and they're just so over that they don't need it.
Well, we won't get that, because a lot of them won't get over. So yeah, the one thing, and you know, I like the Jake the Snake Roberts analogy always, but I do think that we gotta calibrate it a little bit. We gotta recalibrate it just a tad. Because some of y'all think because you're over in your hometown, that means you want some Jake Roberts stuff. That's not it. You gotta be like, again, Jey Uso for this era without the belt, without the Mania win, is Jake the Snake Roberts throughout the entire 80s. I mean, late 80s, early 90s. I'm sorry. That's what we're meaning. Like, when that crowd is on your body and you don't even have a title match booked every week, though. Everybody ain't doing that.
But I do expect Aleister Black to come back and kick the shit out of LA Knight. Right? That's what I expect him to do. And then he's going to get a United States title shot and probably win it. That's what's going to happen. And then we're going to go from there. All right. That's it with Do We Care? So now let's head on over to these guarantees. Kemp, what you got for this week?
Oh, man. You know what? I'm going to be positive here. I was very happy for the Street Profits. Very happy for them. And for what happened, my guarantee hope, actually, this week, is that the Street Profits remain the tag team champions for the rest of 2025. I think it's legit. I think it's a lot of story you can tell with it. I think them being one of the most decorated yet underappreciated tag teams of this particular era. And I think it's time for them to get back just on everything and everybody. I know we were all anticipating the Montez Ford solo singles run, but to be real, I don't know if I want to see that anymore, at least not where the game is right now. So my guarantee hope for this week is that the Profits hold those titles throughout 2025 and in 2026, and we get a real great tag team run from those guys, reminiscent of what we saw with the New Day.
Okay. I was thinking this over, and I'm going to keep it easy and keep it simple. The WWE is going to be extremely disappointed at the reaction for Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte Flair.
I kind of figured you were going there. That's why I didn't use that one. Beautiful. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I don't know what they were trying to do on Friday with those two, with the Via Satellite promo beefs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Charlotte Flair went off track or went off script. But that shit made Tiffany Stratton look real bad and real unprepared for this moment. And I just got a feeling that it's going to be hard for Tiffany Stratton to rebound from this. Like, she might have to get that year-long Triple H rebound. But yeah, that promo and everything looked real bad to the point where I didn't put it in Do We Care, because I think now nobody cares about that match.
Because
they hate Charlotte Flair. They hate she's in this position. But they don't trust that Tiffany Stratton is ready for it. So get ready for another Charlotte Flair title run, ladies and gentlemen.
And so my 1A guarantee for this week was, and it just may be a foregone conclusion, but wherever they have this match, if Charlotte Flair goes over on Tiffany Stratton and takes that title, it's bad news for the next two matches after that. I don't see that going well at all. I don't think that crowd, because you're right. You're right. We're in a situation right now where Tiffany Stratton was fine before Charlotte got here. And nothing has worked the way it's supposed to work for Charlotte Flair on this injury recovery comeback. And her winning that title over Tiffany, who the crowd definitely wants to just be behind, this could get ugly real quick. They might be ruining the whole second and third hour or hour and a half of WrestleMania Night 1. I'd be mindful.
Yeah, well, we gonna see what happens these next couple of weeks. We are 3 weeks away from WrestleMania, so we definitely, our next couple of conversations, definitely gonna have more matches attached to this, and then we're gonna have that prediction show. But Camp, close us out.
Yes, sir. Amen. Wait, we appreciate y'all listening to this first spring edition episode of the first Black Champ podcast in 2025. Man, listen, all of you and your likes, comments, questions, shares, rumor, innuendo, telling me that I look like all the people that got way more money than me. I appreciate it. I will accept Alicia E. Muhammad. I will accept Allen Houston, because I heard he was smashing mad holes in New York. And I just appreciate the banter and conversation from you guys always. Is Alistair Black a top five Black WWE history? Okay. We'll see. But, man, listen, we do the show without you, but we hate to, because you guys think that much more special. So always know that if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, that you do so by checking out the first Black Champ podcast. It's The Pick with the VP, DOC, and we are out. Fuck Johnny Wrestling.
You don't need to be ripped. You just need the right shirt. Epic Fits gives you a clean, confident silhouette. Snug on the arms, soft on the skin, generous where it counts. And with deals like $15 per tee, they won't break the bank. Visit epicfits.com today. Epic Fits. T-shirts that get it.